May is Missions Month, as you know, and we are going to be speaking about it, preaching on it, making reference to it of some aspect or another all month long. But I want to tonight just address this and ask this question and take a look in the scriptures here. But I want to ask the question by way of introduction here tonight is, what exactly is missions? It's Missions Month, we're talking about it, but what exactly is missions? And some would define it as world evangelism, making a distinction between so-called world evangelism and, say, you know, local or personal evangelism. But technically, there is no difference between them. Any distinction would only be a logistical one. And a missionary or an evangelist or a preacher really ultimately needs to engage in personal evangelism regardless of where they're serving, regardless of what field they're on. They need to engage in evangelism. So missions, evangelism, soul winning, that we take part in, it's really all part of the same thing. And it really should be, it needs to be, it has to be the very center of the life of a Bible-believing Baptist church. Missions, evangelism, world evangelism, personal evangelism, soul winning, all of those things need to be at the very center of the life of a Baptist church, because missions and evangelism is really the real life application of Jesus' Great Commission to his churches. It's the real life application of what Jesus commanded his church to do. And I want to talk to you tonight about reasons for missions. Reasons for missions. Missions or evangelism. It's the responsibility of every true Baptist church. Why? Well, first of all, because, as I've already stated, but let me state it again, it is inherent in the Great Commission. It is the responsibility of every true Baptist church, and in particular, Plaque Road Baptist Church. And the reason is because it's inherent in the Great Commission. I want to look at some passages here tonight. I'm going to ask for your help in reading, some of you men. All right, so if I call on you, please stand and read this passage when I give it to you. But I want us to turn to several here regarding the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church. And as we read these, I want you to note how often the word ye or the word you is used. All right? Jordan, would you please look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Brother Chris, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Seth, you can read Luke chapter 24. Verses 46 to 48. Mike, you can read John chapter 20 and verse 21. And then Morgan, you can read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. All right? Go ahead, Jordan, and read Matthew 28.
Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Again, pay attention to how many times the word ye or the word you is used in these passages. All right, Mark 16 and verse 15.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature.
All right, Luke chapter 24.
Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things.
All right, John chapter 20 and verse 21.
Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so said I you.
All right, even so send I you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the utmost parts of the earth.
Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jesus said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, and ye are witnesses of these things. This commission of the Lord Jesus Christ was given to his disciples corporately. We know this, and we won't spend a lot of time on this. The 11 that were with Jesus were individual apostles, but they would not live to the end of the world. And Jesus says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. They wouldn't live to the end of the world. He wasn't speaking to them as individuals. Fulfilling what Jesus gave them to do was well beyond the scope and ability of any individual from then, and especially now. They couldn't do that. So Jesus was speaking corporately. It was given to his churches institutionally. Initially to that church at Jerusalem that Jesus established himself and left behind, and subsequently to all of the churches that have issued from it down to the very present day. But what we need to pay attention to is that this commission that Christ gave is the central purpose of every Bible-believing Baptist church. It's missions. To go into all the world and preach the gospel. Evangelism or missions is the very heartbeat of a New Testament church. And listen, if the heart stops beating, there's no life in it. A church that is not evangelistic in carrying the gospel, listen, not just in supporting those who go, but evangelistic themselves in carrying the gospel, will soon be a dead church if it hasn't happened already. Churches are filled up with programs. Churches are filled up with, you know, trying to get people in the door. But really, the idea is, and the command is, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to carry the gospel, to make disciples, and as you go, preach it and make disciples. It's not really about, honestly, it's not really about getting people into the door. Nothing wrong with inviting people to church. Nothing wrong with having people come to hear the gospel preached. But the gospel is to be carried by God's people, by New Testament churches, to every creature. And if it's not the sole purpose and focus and function of a church, if it's not the heartbeat of a church, it's going to die if it hasn't already. Reasons for missions. Well, it's inherent in the Great Commission. Jesus gave his command to his churches. That's the number one reason. But let me say this to you tonight. A church or a body only functions through its individual members. You notice the words ye and you. Those are particular words that apply to us. And a body only functions through its individual members. Therefore, involvement in missions is expected of every church member. Let me say it again. Involvement in missions is expected of every church member. If you go over to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, in this account here in Numbers chapter 11, there were some who were prophesying. And Joshua came to Moses and said to forbid them from doing this. And Moses' heart and Moses' thought was, would God that all the Lord's people were like this. Just look at this in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto them and took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord, Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. I think that sentiment that we see here it could be said of God's people today, those who are active in the work of the Lord. Would God that all of the Lord's people were prophets, all of the Lord's people would speak and be involved. I think the example of that is found in the church at Jerusalem. And you know this very well, but in Acts chapter 8, turn over there. Acts chapter 8. It was around 35 AD or so that the church at Jerusalem was scattered by severe persecution. Only the apostles, who were the pastors at the time, remained in Jerusalem. In Acts 8:1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And you know how this scattered membership went everywhere spreading the gospel wherever they went. In verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That had an impact. That had a definite impact in their world, because the fruit of their witness is seen a little bit later on in the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 11. Acts 11 and verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. It was directly related to the persecution of the saints in Jerusalem and them being scattered abroad, preaching the gospel everywhere, that the gospel came to Antioch. A great number, a multitude, believed and were added to the Lord, which then was organized into a church, and then from that church the Apostle Paul was sent out, and multitudes were saved, and more churches started. Directly related to the saints of God, the members of that church at Jerusalem who went everywhere preaching the word. The point again is that involvement in missions is expected of every church member. It ought to be our heart's light, our blood, our heartbeat, not only as a church, but as an individual. This commission given by Jesus Christ, listen, it gives us the authority and the power to win souls. In Matthew 28, which we read already, and you know this, it's been taught many times, but let me make reference to it again, where Jesus says in verse 18, all power, or exousia, authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Jesus says, I have all authority in heaven and earth. I'm giving you, my church, my authority. Now go do something with it and preach the gospel. You know what? It's not a Bible college. It's not a mission board that has the authority from heaven to preach the gospel. It's the Lord's church. It's Plaque Road Baptist Church. But it only functions through its individual members. And let me say to you, friends, Christ's command to Plaque Road Baptist Church gives us the authority and the individual, the member authority to be a soul winner as a member of a New Testament church. Divine authority to witness and to testify of Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Listen, we don't preach ourselves as Plaque Road Baptist Church. It's not about even promoting ourselves and come to our church, see what we have going on. It's not about that. We have divine authority, though, to preach Jesus Christ. No one else has that authority. Jesus gave it to his church. But with that authority also comes great responsibility. We're accountable to the Lord. Not only do we have the authority, but we have the power. In Acts 1 and verse 8, ye shall receive power. It's a different word. And it's the Greek word dunamis. You know this. It means ability, divine ability to do what Jesus has commanded us to do. The question is, are we going to submit to it? Are we going to yield to it? Are we going to do something with it? It's inherent in the Great Commission. Reasons for missions. It's one and the same. It's inherent in the Great Commission. Secondly, though, it's obedience to God's commands. It's obedience to God's commands. Turn to Matthew chapter 22 with me. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What is the command here of Jesus in verse 37? Somebody tell me. What's the command? Somebody tell me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The command is to love God with our whole being. Jesus says, thou shalt. It's a command to love the Lord with our whole being. But you know how our love for God is expressed? It's expressed through our obedience to his commands. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus makes it clear, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. If you have my commandments and you keep them, that's the proof that you love me. Our obedience to the Lord is how we express our love to God. The reason for missions is because it's obedience to God's commands. God commands us to seek souls for him. Look at Matthew. I'll have you, a couple of other of you other men read some things. Brother Bob, would you read Matthew chapter 4 in verse 19, please? Yep. And then Brother Humphrey, would you read Acts chapter 10 and verse 42? Brother Girth, you can read John chapter 20 and verse 21. All right, Brother Wilson, Matthew 4 and verse 19. Go ahead when you are there.
Saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
All right, Jesus said to his disciples, you follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Acts 10 and verse 42.
And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead.
Notice that he commanded us to preach unto the people about Jesus, that he was the judge of the quick and the dead. John chapter 20 and verse 21.
And said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.
Jesus says, I'm sending you just like I have been sent. What was Jesus sent to do? To go to the cross. He was sent to give his life. He is the gospel. And listen, we see that God commands us to seek souls for him. But James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Our obedience is our expression of our love for the Lord. The Lord has commanded us to seek souls for him. The question is, are we being obedient and seeking souls for him? Expressing our love for the Lord. But you know, secondly, missions and evangelism is an act of love. It's the greatest expression of love and concern for our fellow man. It's a matter of obedience to God, expressing our love for him, but it's also an act of love toward our fellow man, because we're caring for the soul. Giving them hope for their soul, giving them answers for eternal life. Listen, that is the thing that makes an eternal difference in the life of somebody else. What does Jude 22 say? Of some, have compassion, making a difference, pulling them out of the fire, having compassion. James chapter 5 in verse 20. I'll read it to you. James 5 and verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Listen, giving the gospel, being a faithful witness, it demonstrates true compassion and care for the souls of others. Jesus went out and he looked on the multitude, and the Bible says that he was moved with compassion on them. They were sheep having no shepherd. Giving the gospel, being a faithful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ to others, is the payment of a debt that we owe to our fellow man. Know what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, to all kinds of people here. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Paul says, when it comes to the gospel, I am a debtor to the Greeks and barbarians, wise unto all different kinds of people. And he said later on, he said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a debt that we will always owe as long as we have life, as long as we're alive. Paul said it was the thing that he was a debtor to all men, to preach the gospel. But later on in Acts chapter 20, Paul said that I'm free from the blood of all men. He didn't hesitate. He didn't stop. He didn't cease to teach and to preach everyone night and day, he said. And I'm free from the blood of all men. Paul finished his course. Paul was faithful to what the Lord had given him to do. He said it was a debt that he owed to his fellow man. And what I'm simply saying is, evangelism, missions, being a witness for Christ, is an act of love, true act of love toward our fellow man, because it's the answer of the need of their soul. It shows true compassion for their soul. How do you see people? How do you see people from day to day as you come and as you go? When you pulled into the gas station, when you're at the store in the checkout line, you know, when you're shopping, when you're just through your normal day, the busyness of life so often overtakes us and we fail to see people as souls that are bound for eternity. Listen, I can't say it any other way. I can't say it enough because it's true of myself as well. And the prayer needs to be, Lord, help me to see people like you do. It's not just another person that we look up and down and we judge. It's a soul that is bound for eternity. And where would you be and where would I be if there wasn't someone who had compassion on your soul? Thirdly, so we have reasons for missions. It's inherent in the Great Commission. It's a matter of obedience to God's commands. Thirdly, it's partnership with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 9, Paul says to the church at Corinth here, in verse 9, he says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Both the soul winner and the Spirit of God have an essential part to play in bringing a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our part is to preach the gospel." Romans chapter 10, in verse 14, Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 7, the Bible says, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." He says, "Unto me, I'm less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ." Our part is to preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 10, you'll remember this. I'll just briefly mention this. But there was a man named Cornelius who was searching. In Acts chapter 10, in verse, well, let's skip down to verse 6. "He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." In this context, we see that Cornelius saw a vision in the night, and there was an angel who came to him, and Cornelius was afraid, and he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." The interesting part of this is though an angel appeared to Cornelius, it was to a man that this seeker was directed. "He shall tell thee the things that you need to know." Isn't that interesting? That God has chosen to use you and to use me to be a mouthpiece, to be a witness of Jesus Christ. God has chosen this by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Our part is to preach the gospel. God's part is to bring the conviction. In John chapter 16, in verse 7 and 8, Jesus said, I need to go away. It's expedient. Because if I don't, the Comforter won't come. But when he is come, when the Holy Spirit has come, what will he do? He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. We can't do the Holy Spirit's job of convicting. We just need to keep giving the Word of God and sowing the seed and being the mouthpiece, the preacher of the gospel. But you know what? That is your... God has given you this great privilege. God has given you this great responsibility. What a great thing to be a co-laborer together with God. Amen? The last reason for missions tonight is that it's the answer to the cry of the doomed. It's the answer to the cry of the doomed. Look in Luke 16 with me. This is a powerful thought. In Luke chapter 16, you know this story, you know this context. I'm going to read verses 27 and 28, and we'll look at a couple of other things here. But this context begins in verse 19. It's about the rich man and Lazarus. You know, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, the Bible says. Then there was Lazarus, who was a beggar. The rich man died, the Bible says, but Lazarus also died. The rich man was buried, and he, in hell, lift up his eyes, the Bible said, but Lazarus was carried into Abraham's bosom. That's the context here. But if you get to verse 27, here's the rich man in hell who's speaking to Abraham, and he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Here's the rich man who was in hell in torment, and his cry was, send Lazarus back from the dead to go warn my family so they don't come to this place of torment. He knew that they needed to repent. And his cry was, send them a message so they don't come to this place. Listen, tonight the lost in hell are crying out for soul winners. How many people are in the flames of hell tonight who have loved ones who are saying the very same thing? They know the reality of that awful place of torment and judgment. But missions and evangelism is the only way that they're not going to go to that place. Because verse 29 says, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. His reply was, no, send one from the dead, then they'll repent. And what is the response? And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, the word of God, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. What's the only way that people are not going to see the judgment of God? It's if God's people take the word of God and become a preacher. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Sending someone back from the dead is not going to convince an unbeliever. The need of the lost soul is to hear the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword that pierces and divides and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This is God's chosen plan. In Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, let me tell you something, friends. 1,000 years from now, the only thing that's going to matter is this: who's in heaven and who's in the lake of fire. That's the only thing that's going to matter. If this is the only thing that's going to matter in eternity, shouldn't it matter right now? Who's going to go? Who's going to be obedient to the command of the Lord? Who's going to demonstrate their love for the Lord? Who's going to carry the gospel of peace and bring the glad tidings of good things? Who's going to answer the call of the doomed? Who's going to go next door? Who's going to go across the street? Who's going to go to another town? Who's going to go to another state? Who's going to go across the sea? The reason for missions is that people are dying. The reason for missions is that people are dying, and their soul is heading out into eternity. And the question is, would God burden your heart tonight for missions? We're commanded to sow the seed, to preach the gospel to every creature. We can't be manufacturers. God has given us the job to be sowers. We sow the seed. Are you faithfully sowing the seed? The harvest of that belongs to the Lord. We can't do the work of the Spirit of God in someone's heart, but what we can do is pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. We can pray that there would be more truly willing to actually labor in the harvest. What about you? This is the responsibility of Plaque Road Baptist Church. That means that it's your responsibility and it's mine. Are we being faithful, friends, with what God's given us to do? Have you seen souls this week as souls that are bound for eternity? Or have you just seen people and gone about your life? So ask the Lord to help us to see it the way He sees it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for salvation in Christ, first of all. None of us are worthy of it. All of us here tonight are only here by the grace of God because someone had compassion on our soul. Someone preached to us the gospel. And Father, we only heard it because there was a preacher, and only by the grace of God. Lord, we've been discipled or are being discipled. And Jesus said to disciple them, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Jesus commanded them to be fishers of men. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be observing the thing that You have commanded of us. Lord, maybe tonight there's some who, if they're honest, they have to admit that very, very little, if any, of their life involves being a witness for Christ. Very little, if any, of their life is involved in being a mouthpiece. Very few times, if any, they've seen people as lost, hell-bound souls on the brink of eternity to the point that it's motivated them. Some might have to admit that tonight. But Lord, I pray that You would cause us to come to this place of, Lord, I understand and I see what my purpose here is, what my existence is, why You give me life and breath, why You've placed me into this body. Lord, I want to be faithful. Lord, I struggle sometimes and I have fears and fightings within and without. But Lord, I give those to you. I want to be used of you. I'm available. Open a door for me that I can make an impact in someone's life for all eternity. Lord, I do want to be used of you in this way and be obedient. May that be the prayer of our heart tonight. And then, Lord, may we put feet to our prayer and watch you open doors and experience the blessing and the joy of being used of God. Bless your people, Lord, encourage, challenge, strengthen our hearts. Move us forward for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.